on Friday is I was going down Wentworth Street towards Maine to go to No Frills to get some groceries on my mobility scooter. And as I passed this small parking lot where there's a huge shrub before it, as I passed the shrub and entered the parking lot, not entered the parking lot, but entered the entrance of the parking lot, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
This SUV came from my left and hit me and tipped my scooter over, and it was basically like my scooter was wedged under the SUV because I was on an angle, like on two wheels, not moving. And then I saw the driver and thought, aren't they going to help me? And then what crossed my mind was, oh my goodness, don't back up, because I would fall. And then they backed up and I fell. And then some people came and helped me that were just walking by, and I was crying, and I got on my scooter and it wasn't working, and that made me feel helpless and stranded because those are my legs. And I just got the scooter not even a month ago, so it's brand spanking new.
Mm.
And so the drivers came out and said, are you okay? And I kind of got upset with them. What were you doing? Why did you back up? And then they said, do you want me to call 911? And I said, no. And I, before I continue, shock is a weird thing. You say weird things, you do weird things, you feel weird things. So why I said no, probably because I wasn't seriously injured. Also, I've been hit by a car before, and 911's called, then I get a bill. And I really am not made of money, so I just thought, you know what, I don't need an ambulance. Then she said, do you want me, maybe we should call the police. And I said, yeah, you know what, maybe calling the police is a good idea, just no ambulance, because it's not, like, my right shoulder was hurting and my neck a little bit, but I wasn't injured. So I said, yeah, you know what, it should be on record. So she called the police. Meanwhile, I called. Do you want these kind of details?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, sorry. So I called my partner, because my instinct was to call him, obviously. And I told him I got hit by a car, which I always say car, but an SUV is not a car. It's
Mm-mm.
a monster. So I said, I got hit by a car. And you know that feeling when you talk to your mom or your partner and then you start bawling your eyes out? So I started bawling my eyes out. And he said, I'm in Waterdown. I don't know how quickly I can get there. And I said, well, my scooter's not working. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. And I just felt like I really felt stranded. I felt helpless. And for some reason, like I said, shock is a weird thing. I have a lot of great, wonderful friends here in Hamilton. I could not think of one of them. It was weird. So my instinct was to call the man who is a friend who owns the company that I got the scooter from, to see if maybe in my mind I was like, I just need to be able to get the scooter working or get the scooter home. So I thought maybe if there was somebody who could help me with the scooter. So poor man, I call him and start bawling on the phone with him. I didn't mean to do that. But then he got one of the repair guys who I know to call me, and I told him possibly that the batteries were maybe disconnected. And so he said to call him if Pat got there, my partner.
Mm-hmm.
So Pat did get there and, you know, consoled me. And I told him that Jason, this repairman, said to call him, and I was right. He opened up the scooter with Jason's help, and the batteries were just disconnected from the force of the SUV. So that was a little bit of a relief, but I was still super shooken up. I couldn't stop thinking about this huge vehicle coming at me. And then the police showed up. And the initial energy and words coming out of the first police officer was just so hostile and just complete judgment the minute they saw me. And he walked up to me and said, are you the one they called about? And I said, yes. He goes, awesome. That initial thing just made me feel so gross. Like, why is this awesome?
Mm.
Why are you asking me if I'm okay? And then he proceeded to say, do you need an ambulance? Like, various voices, do you need an ambulance? I said, no. Okay, no injuries. I said, well, yeah, I'm sore. So you have injuries. I'm like, well, my shoulder's sore, and of course I'm going to be probably sore in the next couple days because I was thrown from my scooter, but I don't need an ambulance. Like, there's a difference between needing an ambulance and if I'm going to have whiplash, and yes, I do have whiplash. My neck's been sore ever since, in my back, in my shoulder. But you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Why? It's not white and black. So then he proceeded to say how this is a on private property. This is on private property, so there's not really much we can do. And I interrupted by saying, it's a sidewalk. And he said, this is private property and blah, 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 blah. And I said, but it's a city sidewalk. And he said, ma'am, do you know the Highway Traffic Act? I said, it's a sidewalk. I just kept saying it. Like, I was shocked because sidewalks are not private property. Like, the city just fixed the sidewalk outside of my house that I own, and I did not have to pay for it, which means it's not mine, right? And I just kept saying, it's a sidewalk. And he repeated, do you know the Highway Traffic Act? What? That was complete bullying to me. That was like, of course I don't know the Highway Traffic Act. But I'm just trying to say to you that it's a sidewalk. Why can't, I don't understand. And I didn't want anyone charged. It's not, I wasn't saying these people need to go to jail, but why are you telling me that this is private property? And then he proceeded to say to the people who hit me that we will treat this like she was hit by a shopping cart, which I was shocked about. I said, shopping cart? That was completely insulting. When a huge SUV comes at you and you're 3 feet tall, only 4 feet on your scooter, that is way more terrifying than a friggin' shopping cart. So he's demeaning the experience I went through. And then the other police officer, who I actually thought would be a nice guy, was not. He said, well, ma'am, witnesses say you were going pretty fast. And then I felt attacked. And I said, what? My scooter doesn't even go that fast. And also, he goes, as like, it's hard to explain, but he kept interrupting when I'm about to tell you what I tried to explain, but he kept interrupting with, are there different speeds? Are there different speeds on that? You could slow down. You could slow down when you see a driveway or a parking lot. And what I was trying to explain, which I finally got out, was, yes, there are different speeds. No, I was not going at my minimum speed, but I was not going at my maximum. And I should not, as a person who relies on a scooter for every minute of my day, I should not have to fear for my life and go at the complete minimum speed, scared, going down the sidewalk. Just like you and those police officers, I have to get stuff done. And I said, I should not be fearful of my life. And then I continued to explain why I know I was cautious. I said, I know I was cautious because I am extra cautious now, even more than I ever have been because I've been hit 4 times. And he said, oh, really? Well, what do you think the common denominator is here, ma'am? No offense. And that was it. I was sick to my stomach. I was like, oh, my God. I don't remember what he said, but I was like, you know what? I'm done. Stop talking to me. He goes, would you like to speak to someone else? I said, no. No, I said, this is why I didn't call the police in the first place, because it's irrelevant. You're not doing anything. He goes, well, do you want to press charges? I'm like, no, that's not the point. Like, you're attacking me. He's like, well, we're not trying to attack you. And I was like, you know what? Just stop talking to me. I was so upset. I'm a pretty chill person. I do inspirational speaking for a living. I speak to children. I speak to all different groups of people to stand up for themselves and to love themselves and embrace who they are. And oh my God, I'm almost crying again. This has been so exhausting for me. And then something no one knows, because it happened last night, that guy 5 days later called me and bullied me on the phone at 10 p.m. at night.
The officer,
number two officer, the one who said it was my fault. And I was just getting ready for bed. Obviously, it's 10 o'clock. I had just brushed my teeth and washed my face, put on my pajamas, and I was doing my, like, you know, face creams and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I see a phone call, just a number, Hamilton. Weird, who's calling me? Like, my friends, I have my friends' numbers, right? Hello? He says, this is PC Lubin. And the minute he said that, I cannot tell you how my stomach, I have never had my stomach twist in knots like this in my entire existence.
What did he say?
I was shaking. He said, this is PC Lubin. Can I, so my name is Tally. Naomi is my middle name. Osborne, okay? He goes, can I speak to Naomi Osborne Tally, please? I'm like, first of all, it's Tally is my name. Yes, this is Tally. He goes, it's Osborne Tally? No, it's Tally Osborne. I'm talking like this. Like, I'm defensive. I'm like, it's Tally Osborne. My middle name is Naomi. And then it's like this. Okay? And I hear him tapping on the keyboard. Tap, tap, tap. Tap, tap, tap. Dead air. Dead air. Dead air. I said, what can I do for you?
No doubt.
Like, he doesn't even tell me why he's calling me. Just puts dead air in my ear, and I'm terrified. I'm not scared physically, but I'm sick to my stomach, like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Like, my attacker is on the phone. Do you know what I mean? Not really, but that's how it felt. And I said, what can I do for you? He goes, I'm calling to take a statement. I said, at 10 p.m. at night? He goes, you refused a statement the other day. I said, I did not. And one thing there's nothing I hate more than people lying about me, because I don't lie. It's one thing I don't know how to do.
I understand
that. It's
something
that I don't do. Mm-hmm. I don't know how. And you're lying to me about something I said, and it's the most frustrating feeling when I say, no, I didn't. And he said, yes, you did. I was there. And I said, I was there too. He goes, you refused police. You didn't want us there. I said, I didn't want you there after you were blaming me and attacking me. He goes, I offered for you to speak to someone else, and you refused. I said, yes, I did refuse because I felt attacked. Why on earth would I want to speak to a third police officer? And I said, you should not be calling me at 10 p.m. at night to take a statement. I said, you should have taken it that day. He goes, you refused. And I said, no, I didn't. He goes, I'm not arguing with you. You know what? Would it be better if I had someone else take your statement? I said, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know what he said? Well, my boss wants a statement by the morning, so I'll have someone call you, but I'm not sure when they're going to call you. And I said, what time? He goes, don't know. We work overnight. And guess what? Rewind before that. He goes, when I said, this is inappropriate, you're calling me this late, he goes, so you're refusing a statement? He kept saying, so you're refusing a statement? So he didn't have to do work. But I wasn't refusing a statement, Laura. I'm saying 10 o'clock at night, 5 days later, is not appropriate.
It's not appropriate. No, you're right.
My stepdaughters were sleeping in the next room next door, and I'm yelling, not yelling, I'm talking this, the volume you're hearing, and I feel sick to my stomach. My partner's outside, doesn't even know this is happening. And the feeling of, I don't know what I'm allowed with police. Like, it's an intimidation thing. I don't know if I can say this is inappropriate, you have to call me at a better time. When he tells me my supervisor needs it by the morning, I felt pressured. And I said, fine, I'll give you a statement. And you know what he did? He did this. And I said, seriously? You're giving me attitude now? He goes, I'm breathing. I said, do you know what? That is something this is something I talked to my 10-year-old stepdaughter about. That is not breathing, that is attitude. Unless you have asthma. Do you have asthma? He's like, what? He goes, no. I said, that's not breathing then. He goes, I was just breathing. But you're giving me attitude, you're arguing with me. And I'm like, I told you I would give you the statement. So let's just do the statement. Let's just give the statement. And this huge vehicle is coming at me, hits me off of my scooter, and you give me no empathy. I said, next time you're in a situation like this, you need to at least say, how are you? Are you okay? Is there something I can do? Do you need a glass of water? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and
basic humanity.
He kept getting defensive. And he said to me, no, I've been in a collision like this before. I said, no, you do not. No, you have not. I said, you will never feel the vulnerable and the terrified feeling I felt. You can imagine it. You will never feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'll never be in my situation. He may be in a different situation, but not that one. And he goes, well, this one time I had to take a bicycle away from a cyclist who relies on his scooter for getting to work, and I had to take his bike away because it was his fault. I said, that is not the same.
Mm-mm.
He keeps referring to me as a cyclist, and I said, this is not the same. I need this scooter. These are my legs. That cyclist can get to work otherwise. He can use all the transportation methods the city has. He can walk there. Do not compare me to a cyclist. Like, it was just back and forth, and it was arguing, and it was just bullying tactics again that I didn't realize until I got off the phone, because I felt pressured. I felt intimidated. And I said to him, I am trying to educate you, because I said to him, this is not the same when I was talking about the bicycle.